This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast coming to you today from Skytook, Oklahoma, in the dining room of Pastors Chip and Candace Brim of A Glorious Church Fellowship. We're talking about fear for these 2 weeks. We've encountered it. I've encountered people afraid of the end times, what's happening. I'll talk about that later on. But I want to talk today about not tolerating fear. You don't put up with fear. You don't give fear a place in you. It's not okay for you to have a little pet fear. Jesus said, well, the Holy Ghost said through Paul in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Christians can give the devil a place in them, or they can refuse to give him a place in them. Many of the things today are conducive to giving place to the devil. The movies you might watch, the TVs, things you might watch. And your little children see little things that would make them afraid. And then Brenda talked yesterday about how he does attack children. But fear tolerated is faith contaminated. There's an Old Testament example of a man who tolerated fear. Shelley noticed this in her Bible yesterday.
Job, and Job chapter 3, verse 25, and it says in the King James, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." And there's a little number, I have a center reference column, the numbers by the word "the thing which I greatly feared." And in the center reference, it says Hebrew, and it says, "I feared a fear, and it came upon me." And immediately I thought of how you would line up some bowling pins, you know, those old-fashioned bowling pins, and each one of them had fear. Maybe one of them was fear of the economy.
Yeah.
Or fear of tornadoes. Or fear of car wreck, or fear of my children being in drugs, whatever that fear may be on that little bowling pin. But the one that I feared is the one that affected me, is the one that came upon me. So as an act of my will, just like Job, as an act of his will, the thing, the fear, the particular fear is what came on him.
And that fear, actually, with Job, some people get the wrong idea of the book of Job. They think that God just gave the Satan the right to get Job. But God just stated a fact. He just said, everything, you're down there on the earth. Adam let you in. Everything there is your territory.
Right.
And but Job had a fear.
He had a particular fear.
What was that fear?
And that was the fear of, well, his children, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously his health.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about in my own life and dealing with people in my family, and I see that the very battle that they are involved with is something in their past that they had to defeat in that area. And so they have a fear of being defeated in that area again. And I think about fear and how, where Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind. I forget my past. I'm not letting that particular fear come on me. And then I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And then just sitting here while we're doing radio, little Jared next to me, he said, "Don't forget, perfect love casts out fear." And as that word perfect means mature. Love is a fruit of the born-again spirit, the new creature in Christ Jesus. And as that fruit begins to grow, it begins to develop to the place where it casts out fear and says, "No, I believe all things." Love believes all things. And I believe the Word of God. It is written. And so anyway, but it's not all right. Can you give the brownie story?
Yeah, Chip, give that brownie story.
Well, I think many people have heard it before in different ways or different sermons, but it's just a simple illustration a man did, and I guess he, you know, passed the information on, but he had kids that wanted to see a movie, a popular movie. He said no. He had, you know, kind of heard here and there, but the kids tried to convince him that no,
it was just or something.
Yeah, yeah, R-rated,
just,
you know,
a little bit.
It's just only
VR.
One scene. It's just only a couple cuss words. It's a great movie, and it, you know, Dad, come on. It's in the begging, and he said, no, I'm not gonna tolerate it, and I'm not gonna allow it, and that's that. And boy, they stormed off to their rooms upstairs and weren't happy. Well, the dad still loved them, and they don't realize that at that time, but. So he knew how to get them down, and he's got this famous recipe for brownies, and so he makes them, and he's going to bless them. And so the smell goes through the house, and of course the doors start opening, and here they come. And they get the milk out and the glasses, and oh, this is going to be good. And he goes, guys, I made your favorite brownies. Oh, Dad, you know, they're kind of forgetting the movie, you know. And so the dad said this, which he didn't really do it, but he just said it to see what they would, just to prove a point. He said, listen, I love you guys, and I know you're not happy with me right now, so I wanted to make you these famous brownies and that I know you love. But the only thing, I did one thing different, and I put just a smidge of our dog. I went outside and got just a little bit of his, you know, his poop. That's the only way I know to say it. Can you say it on the radio? Well, but anyway. And I put just a smidge in there. And they're like, what? They're like, gross. Dad, that's gross. He goes, I promise you probably cooked out. And you probably won't get that piece that has it in there.
Just
you
a know, little bit.
Just a little bit.
It won't hurt you.
And boy, they would not, no way. Even though they wanted those brownies. And that was their, you know, treat. And they loved and they were passionate for those brownies. We're not going to put up with that. We're not going to do that. And so he said, I really didn't do that, but I want to prove a point. That's what the enemy is doing. He's putting a smidge here and a smidge there.
Right.
And that's the way we got to become. No, exactly. No, don't even tolerate it.
And, you know, that is quite prevalent right now in movies and even in television programs. And sorry to say, in little children's comedies on Saturday mornings, the cartoons.
Songs, radio.
To put a fear in people. And but it's giving Satan a place. It is written, neither give place to the devil. Now, if it is true, what the Bible says, in fact, not just John Macmillan, but it is true that as we go on in these end of days, the activity of Satan, and we know it's true because what does it say in Revelation? It says, Satan is full with wrath because he seeth his time is short. He knows he's here only for the length of Adam's lease. So he knows when that's up. But if you back up a verse, Revelation 12:11, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Shelley, when you were bringing up your kids, I thought of this. What did you do about wallpapering your house? Your home that you were bringing your kids up in.
Well, I knew the atmosphere where those children were raised in was affected by the words that were spoken.
The atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, their daddy and I, we decided before they were even born, if we were going to argue, we'd have to argue out in the pasture where the kids couldn't hear us. Because the atmosphere in our home was going to be words of faith and words of love. So I used this little term. I wallpapered my home with words. I wallpapered my home with words of faith and words of love. And even though they may have had a bad day at school because they did go to public schools, they were always excited to come home because it would be a different atmosphere. It was where love was spoken, faith was spoken, and they grew up to be strong and stable, and now they're doing the same thing with their children. So.
You know, I thought about Brother Hagin's little book called Words. It's just a mini book. You could get it from Kenneth Hagin Ministries. And he explained how words hang in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Words are powerful. You have what you say.
Right.
And they're going to be faith words and love words, or they can be strife words. Mm-hmm. So now, if a mother and a father have a little child that tells them they're having nightmares, could they use that wallpapering? What would they do? Yes. What would they say?
Well, first of all, as a parent, you have authority in your home. And you can take that little boy, that little girl, and you can say, honey, this is a spirit, this is a devil, but you know what? He's not bigger than Jesus. Jesus is great big. And in his name, we take authority over this spirit that would try to give you nightmares. And take authority over it.
You can draw a bloodline around that room.
Oh, yes. And by faith, you can speak, because the Bible does talk about we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I just speak and remind it that the blood of Jesus Christ has a voice. The Bible says it speaks. And that precious blood, by faith, Lord, we apply it upon a little Susie's thought life, upon her dream life, upon her bedroom. That blood applied by faith with the words of my mouth. And Satan cannot cross the bloodline.
He cannot cross the bloodline. He can't come in there that night. Now, it's important that the father and the mother are living and walking in love and faith.
Right. Yeah.
They can't be having fights over in the...
Well, that's giving the enemy...
A place in your house.
And the servant of the Lord, the Bible says it's real clear. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. The servant of the Lord must not
strive. Bless the Lord. And so in your home, of course, you need to be walking in love with your wife, your husband, and your family. And from a clean perspective, then you can have authority in your house. You give him authority in your house if you're fighting and mean to the wife or mean to the husband or whatever.
I remember our pastor we had years ago when the kids were little in Branson, and he went out to pray and fast because there were situations where marriages were coming together, you know, and yours, mine, and ours, so to speak. And these older kids were bringing in their drugs and bringing in their hard rock music and affecting the little new children that came from this marriage. And the Lord dealt with the pastor and said, what did I tell Abraham and Sarah? They had to get rid of the child causing strife. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord, by his faithfulness, provided. That's how serious it is. We're talking about dealing with fear. This is another thing where we give Satan no place. It's not...
We give him no place. Tomorrow we're going to talk about not just little kids. We're going to have talk about an experience in Chip's life when he was in college, and the devil had about four or five athletes, college athletes, scared. We trust you have enjoyed this program and these weeks on fear. We recognize that it's almost like one of our presidents said, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. To help you, we have two books we want you to have. The Authority of the Believer by John A. McMillan and The Blood and the Glory by Billy Brim. Macmillan said in the foreword to his books that this age that we're in right now is knowing a tremendous increase in the activity of the powers of darkness. To meet the situation, the Church of Christ needs a new conception of prayer, and that is the prayer of the authority of the believer. The bloodline, how to draw them. We're offering two books, The Authority of the Believer by John Macmillan and The Blood and the Glory by Billy Brim. I want you to have these books, so much so that we're offering them to you as a radio package for $10 plus shipping. Just write us at Box 40, Branson, Missouri, or go online to billybrim.org or order 1-800-972-3447.